We will also try not to make immediate progress, but it also means trying to give as much detail as effects.
Thank you very much. Can I now give for the Danta to respond to the questions?
Thank you, Honorable. Members for acknowledging that the team does need to travel earlier because it is a rule-based company that we do not travel, road travel by night. I think there's a few questions, but I'm looking at themes. There's a few or four big themes that are coming out of the session. The very first one was regarding, you know, a contract for 100 houses that then became, you know, 3, and then with a potential for 5. So I'm going to handle various of questions. I will start and then I'm going to hand over to the right team members to take us through the details. On the 100, essentially what happened, we had two contractors that we had narrowed down to the finalists. Okay, both CC as well as a company called Silverline had the opportunity to build the show houses. The reason for that is that the technology was actually very different. CC was building conventionally with bricks and mortar, whereas the Silver Line technology is a very different technology, using, you know, frames that are basically folds, very similar to what you see in kind of fast food stores, etc. You know, very quick execution. But I also told the team that if we're building something in 2017, you've got to make sure that you are building it as green as possible, and hence the different technology provider. It was never at that time relayed that the contract will definitely be awarded. It was more about let us come in and see what both of these types of houses look like, and then we will take a decision. I am aware of the fact that the contract did make provision for if we did not award further houses as part of the contract, that there was a makeup rate that we would then provide for. But before I move on to Sanjay, who is the commercial head for the business, to take you to the details, I just want to say, you know, I've heard quite a few of the honorable members mentioning that, you know, how can you take a contract that's rated on 100, ask someone to build it, and then award them 5 and think it was good enough. With regards to the downtime, okay, the reason for awarding that further three houses from the 3 to the 5 was to actually make sure that Rochelle and the team didn't demobilize and having to remobilize should we need to award more contracts. For us, it was actually a mitigation strategy. Yes, it might not have made financial sense then, but we also understood that if the team had to come back on site, they would have incurred demobilization costs at that point after 3. And if awarded the contract, they would have had to come back on site. So that was the mitigating strategy. In terms of the downturn and the questions we were asked about how can your downsizing strategy not take into account what your SMEs or your business partners would have to go through, I think that was very much, as I've just answered, we thought we were mitigating that by still keeping them on site. Demobilizing. The point around where you deliberately setting up these business partners for failure, I take that very personally. This was a win-win strategy for everyone. Why, if my project is so contingent on the ramp up of the supporting housing project, how can we bring in business partners that we would set up for failure? No one in the questions asked what is the consequence to this project, to South Africa, because we've not ramped up this project to plan. The consequences, honorable members, is that we have had to delay this project by at least 6 months. Because if you can't have housing, you can't put people on the ground. So we have had to delay. We have also had to incur costs to make sure that some of the business partners that we did bring on site we then gave them an allowance to find houses in Springbok, Pella, and Pokha. So that has been the impact to us in terms of delays. It was never the intention to set people up for failure. It's almost like us immediately setting us up for failure.
Can I
yes, Chandra.
Can I counsel you? You are speaking to Parliament here. You are speaking to Parliament. Parliament makes laws of this country. It is the highest decision-making structure in the country. So there is no question that this comes from by members of Parliament. I just wanted to make you aware of that we are not on a straight line here. Musicians, that man. Whatever we are discussing here, there's implications for lawmaking. Whatever loopholes that we identify will lead to a situation where it is possible to legislate or it is possible to regulate certain companies. So it can't be personal. It's a view and you can't respond on that issue and say you take it personal because you are a CEO of a company, you are the face of a company, Vedanta. So it's not personal.
Apologies again, Honorable. I think it was more the fact that you take the conversation very seriously. So hence I did take exception, but I totally take your point and apologies again. That was a great conversation. I think on that note, let me hand over then to Sanjay to talk to the process that has followed in terms of the tender adjudication. And then I think for the benefit of the members, can we just talk through the key terms of the contract itself?
Good afternoon, honorable members. The process that we followed for this process, as initially in the explanation we had said that this process was a difficult process and it was on the board for 40 years and we were looking at ways to make it workable for it. So as we were moving forward there were refinements that were happening in different packages and housing was also one of them. In 2013-14, when we started, we were about to finish the feasibility study. We had planned to build 500 houses, but in phases because we were the first phase was 100 and balance we had to work with the local community and the government to finalize where should be built. So when we spoke in the first lot, the discussion initially was for 100 houses. But before the contracts were awarded to EC and Cover, it was made very clear. And the contracts were only signed, first contracts were only signed for 3 houses. Two. We see both as well as the members. And in that contract, it was very clearly mentioned that if the houses are approved, because these are 3 show houses, each of them are building, and we decide to build further space, then the contract will be awarded. While the construction was happening, while the discussion for finalizing happened, yes, we started with a broad scope of because as a company philosophy, we allow our partners to bring in their inputs in terms of inputs and knowledge, in terms of what can they bring to improve if they have experience of building the houses. Definitely they will have good ideas, suggestions to improve what we have initially thought. So we had issued a scope document which specified the finishes, specified the area for each type of houses. In that each type of houses, how many bedrooms do we need, how many bathrooms do we need, what should be the living room and the kitchen. And then each of the compactors had to explain some of their ideas of what they can do. The different houses, after the first lot, three of the each were built. By that time, the downturn came. So we were, the project became even more difficult for us. So we offered to both Silver Line as well as Creepy that in order to keep the site running and not incur the mobilization, demobilization and cost, is there a way we can work together and restrict the second phase to a smaller quantity and not holding the 100, because at that time when the project is not clear, we couldn't have built 100 houses and project not clear. Silver Line accepted that, and CC at that time said, no, they will not do it. At that point of time, there was additional work that was offered to CC to do the service. Yes, there was a difference because of this change in strategy and downturn. The initial services that were tendered was for all the 100 houses, and we had to restrict it to 17 houses. That was offered as additional work, which was refused by CC. In terms of the contractual conditions, the contract had very clear conditions in terms of what guidelines to follow. The law, 100% the law, we have to abide by the law. And whatever we had asked was to follow the law. And both the contractors did mention in their response that they have worked with many companies in the past. And while discussing, both of them during the discussion did confirm that they do understand what are the requirements. And we asked them, do you need more clarity? And it was very clearly mentioned that we do understand because we have experience of working with the mining companies. Contract clearly specifies what the safety regulations have, what people have to and in some cases when the practices that were followed and there were instances where it was not respected, we had to, our HR had to intervene to force the company to make sure that they follow, they do give right respect to the people that are preserved by each community. Before signing the contract. After the everything was written, then only the contract was signed and the construction started. So whether it was Creepy or Jackson, they had every right available before to say that okay, this is not acceptable. There was no arm twisting there. So if the two parties are entering in contract, it is assumed that both parties are willing to enter into contract after the discussion, and they have agreed on those terms, and then only people sign the contract. I don't sign a contract without agreeing that okay, after a month I will open. That's not a fair intent. That was the intent. That's not a fair intent on the other.
Can you address the meeting for me, because I'm sharing if your eye contact is not making any money, you need to know.
Okay. Yeah.
going to come in this. I don't know whether you understand what the issues are. I'm getting a sense that your responses are not from a common understanding of what the issues are. And we are here to help you understand the issues. There's no one who is disputing the contract. The issue is that you had obligations to meet. One of them is site establishment. Okay. Site that has got infrastructure so that church could build accommodation for staff, the camp. Your failure to meet that by providing them with a site that is not suitable for establishing a campsite. You created a situation where they incurred costs. Firstly, there were delays caused by that, and the delays are what you are raising in terms of them having not delivered. But you are not pointing that to yourself. That's a failure for you from your side to establish a site that is suitable for them to establish accommodation camp for their employees is the root cause for them not to meet the contractual obligation. Cause related to that is that they then had to find an alternative site. And that alternative site comes with cost, increasing cost. So let us respond to the issues as they are raised. Don't respond to something that has not been raised. The same applies to Tracy. 3C is saying, I had a design, my own design. Forget about the structure of the house. The structure is built because there is a design that I have provided. So I was asked to provide a design and build a house. The design is my intellectual property. I put it down. When the house is, I'm no longer giving that. Don't use my design. That is what Tracy is saying. But they are both saying that our cost of the very same unit, one unit that you are saying I must build, is based on the cost of 100. But if you are asking me to build two, it then costs me more because I'm not buying the material, the raw material in bulk. That's what Tracy is saying. So respond to the issues that are being raised.
There was a provision that was kept that in case they don't get the bigger lot, the differential, there was a differential that was kept in the contract which can be paid, but that will not be paid if they decide not to accept the contract for the further. So there was a provision kept further differential cost. And on the Capcom site establishment, we had meeting minutes.
But can I get your information? Are you listening to yourself? Are you listening to what you are saying? The information that you are giving to us, for us to understand, do you also understand the meaning of it? What you are saying to us in terms of 3C, the message that you are sending to us in terms of 3C, the question that I'm asking, are you listening to yourself? Do you understand what you are saying to us when you are responding? I don't think so. I don't think that you understand your response in the same way that we understand. Repeat what you've just said and listen to yourself.
The initial contract signed was for 3 hospitals. And in that contract, there was a provision made that if we do not go ahead with the further hospital, there was an amount that was agreed of 300 grand. That will be paid on these 3 hospitals extra. Because we do understand that if they have finished that 3 hospitals, their mobilization cost can be different. And that was the reason that we wanted to continue and during downturn also continue with the work in a smaller quantity. 5 hospitals were offered. The contract did not specify any number, but yes, we had discussion about 100 houses before the, when the initial discussion was happening.
Yeah,
I ask the question,
where is Silver Line today?
Yeah. The Silver Line got liquidated later after the second, I'm not exactly sure. Later on they got liquidated because they had partnership with you.
So companies that have built houses for you are liquidated and you don't see anything wrong with your contractual, the manner in which you sign the contract with this company.
The Silver Line liquidation was not because of the contract which was placed by us. It happened after that contract, later because of the dispute within the company.
Can you respond to the issue of the design?
In terms of the design, there were houses done by CC into a brick and mortar and the biggest house size which we did was 200 square meters. Other design that we had worked out was 185 square meters. And when we moved and did the construction with that, there was a design done based on the experience that we had with those 9 houses that were done, 6 by Silver Line and 3 by CC. When we looked at the houses, what changes need to be done to make it better for the employees to stay, a redesign was done, and based on that, then Capcom started construction of the house. So it was not CC design.
Can I respond?
Yeah.
If you look at the plan, if you go to Comfort website, I've got the plans here on my laptop. If you look at the 120 design and you go to Hansberg's website, you'll see the foundation that was laid, about 2 or 4 of them. I've got a snapshot of it on my laptop.
It is the 120th design lab. If you take the plans that Mr. Chad, construction council, do you have a copy of your plans here?
No.
In hard copy? If you look at the two different plans, if you allow me, I'll switch on my laptop quickly and I'll show you. The 120 is exactly the same. They changed it around on the plan, redesigning it. There was no redesigning. It was taking it and copying it over to a new plan, and I can show you that. Same with the 200 and same with the 300. That doesn't make it theirs. If you take my design with my layout, and it looks like my 120, and it looks like my 200, and it looks like my 185, my plan, making it, designing it, redesigning it on another piece of paper doesn't make it yours. Changing the logo doesn't make it yours. If the design is the same, even if you take that design and you build a brick and mortar, or you don't build a brick and mortar, you use a different method, still take my design.
You never built 185 square meter house. Your outside was 200, not 180. And what that one of the sizes was 185 square meter.
Madam Chair, that was one house that they built. The rest of the houses was under 120 and 150. If I may approach you, Madam Chair.
Design of the size 12, dress, size 14, size 15, size 18, size 20, you still use the same design. The difference is in the size. That's what she's arguing. The second issue that they are arguing, both of them, is that you would have 150 square meters and 130 square meters, and you would pay. You would offer for 170 square meters and 350 the amount for 150 square meters. That's what they are asking. The third point that they are arguing is that a design is a design, it's a drawing, irrespective of what type of material you are using when you are building a house. It still remains my design. It's like a design. When I'm designing something, it doesn't matter whether I have used rayon and cotton or cotton only to sew a dress. The design still is the same. That's what they are arguing. So let us not talk about the square meters. Let us talk about the drawing.
And another issue I would like to highlight, there were two points that were raised by me. None of these were raised with us, even when the final payment was done. The points which were were raised that during the time they were constructing, they faced the difficulty in terms of housing accommodation, local government problems. None of the issues were raised. And it was only first time raised in first year when the issue was that way. And the contract with the last payment was closed almost 2 years back.
So, child never raised an issue with you.
I'm referring to PC. I'll come to child. So on PC side, their last payment happened in May 2016. And this communication only came in June 2017. During that time, or while they were building the houses, none of the issues were raised.
Who was the project manager on your side?
On Mario Plus.
It's a part of this meeting. It's a certain part of this meeting. Because, you see, in any project, issues will not be raised by 3C with the CEO. The issues will be raised with the project manager. And if the project manager doesn't pass that information, it doesn't mean that 3C is not raised.
Contractually, they are obliged, as per the contract, and this was very clearly communicated also, they were supposed to raise any issues which will have a financial or a commercial implication with me, because I was the person in charge of commercial for the contract. And it was made very clear to me. And which even Satcon will confirm that whenever they had any issues, commercial issues, they knew exactly who to approach. It was not that it was not clear, and she also had very clear knowledge of who to
approach. My father wanted to come in.
Honorable, I just want to say that Mario Sutra Creative Engineering, in which the housing project falls under, if I was, we were asked the question who is the project manager on our side, it was Mario Sutra, the head of engineering. I apologize at the beginning of the meeting to Mario for the statement. So it was very much our intention to have Mario.
Thank you, Manjit. With regards to the complaints, the gentleman that was overseeing the project during the when we were busy building, was Daryl, can't remember his surname. Some of these issues was raised towards him because he was directly communicating to the office, and it was stipulated by him that we communicate to him, and then he will communicate it over. It was. There was one concern that I did have with the fact that about the laydown area. He initiated the first union members to come on site and have a discussion with us. This is why we are, all the, some of these issues was raised towards him. Thank you, Manager.
Can you continue with your looking, we are looking at time. We are just going to meet right now, and we want to get to the way forward.
Can I direct that Sandy, I think it's important that you talk about the delays with regards to the site establishment from our side, that we're going to meet you in terms of November, January.
In terms of the site establishment in December, when we had the first kickoff meeting with Chatcon for the construction of our team, Chatcon volunteered to build their camp in Pella instead of the site that actually. So they felt that that will be more convenient for them, and they said we will build it here. So that's how the initially in December, there was no laydown area that was provided. Later on, when this issue came up, that the local communities complained that they had hired a house which had a big open area, and local communities, when they complained, they also agreed. can create a disturbance for the surrounding people who are living in the surrounding area. And then they requested us that please provide us the laydown material, which we prepared and provided. During December, they had gone on break, and January when they came back, it was provided. The dispute that was there between the site team and CATCON was about the cable. Who pulls the cable from the transformer to the mine? As per the contract, it was clear that the responsible would like to check.
Thanks, Shalom. With regards to the laydown irrigates, we seem to move to fail. The mine is possible. We have a temporary application. Basically, to move out a unit that you brought, to move it to fail, to use gas and give your situation in place. And that was fully real there. And the accommodation we had in Pele had no ablutions. We had to hire ablutions. So there's no way we can absorb that cost and not, you know, we were trying to help the mine. This is for the sake of the project. And it was like us all. With regards to our laydown area, it clearly states in the contract 19.2 that the mine responsible, right, first of all, I'll read a lot, the whole section to you. Site including all fencing, water, sanitation, fire prevention, firefighting equipment, and other grid requirements and connections with such accommodation amenities, right? It clearly states all that main services will be supplied by the main contractor, Black Mountain Mining. It further states all internal reticulation, network reticulation, service sewer is responsible for by the contractor. Now that's internal laydown area. This is our laydown area. The minister is 200 meters away from our laydown area. So if there's a section of 48 units, they put a minister there where the bottle is. A cable must come from there to our boundary, and from our boundary we've got a minister. We are going to connect on that minister and do our internal reticulation. We're not going to spend 80,000 rand from day to day to that cable. My guy is not responsible also just to go deep. We don't know what is the services. There's power lines running over. So I cannot instruct my guys to go dig on municipal. It's actually not municipal. It is municipal property, but it belongs to the mine. So I cannot go dig there. Now how's the guy go dig for you? Give me the right. No, cannot. Alright? I'll buy the cable. Show me that, just to resolve this whole labor issue. And this is going on till today. I haven't got that cable. Till today. And I said, let's leave that. I'll pay, this is now 4 months ago. I'll pay for the cable. Show me where to dig. Can I dig any main cables? It's a risk for us. I mean, the cables running there is like 60,000. Major, major cables. It's like me going, it's like you and your property, get out of your boundary, and you can dig across the road. You cannot. It's municipal property. Now, that's what the mind asking me to say. You know, I'm comfortable. But for the sake of the project, find the table, put your cable in there, try and get a system that we dig the cable and get the cable in. This project will be way ahead. It'll be done. But a simple thing like that, I can spend 500,000 rand on units that I haven't got electricity. I will put a generator there, they turn me down, move the generator. So I take everybody out of the labor camp, send guys back to Katu, send back to Springbok, send where they came from, ever send them back. So like that labor area is laying there now for 6 months. Standing there, the diamond bank, it's money that outlay, which is not part of my cost.
Honourable Bank, I think in the spirit of the, you know, we're trying to solve for solutions here, trying to understand how we can find each other. I think we're going to do it this way, in stronger than we all anticipated. I think listening to both sides of the story, and also to yourselves, speak as well. I think it's very clear that this was a greenfield project. And we were asked about our track record in this area. And I think we all come from various mining companies. I was really instrumental when I worked for Anglo Platinum. I've also worked at the Anglo American Group level with that massive mining house project that everyone talks about in Dingleton. I was part of that as well. So very familiar with it. But I think, you know, if I had to step back and think about what was the intent versus what started to go wrong and why wasn't this solved maybe sooner as opposed to us finding ourselves here. And the biggest learning is that this was a greenfield project. Okay, and nothing dismissed that. Why I say it is because it's value for everyone. From the type of land, ground that you're going to dig into, was harder than this. And so that's the kind of stuff that happens on greenfields. You know, our insistence on local labor is also what Sam Chung, the contractor, our business partner, has to point. So we were very passionate about that, because you're in an area where the unemployment is high. You know, this project has been looked at for the last 40 years. So we thought that, you know, we have to make sure that you set the project up the way you want to end operations, as opposed to getting the project done as quickly as possible, bringing people from outside that we knew would cause a lot of emotional issues, that we created that as a condition to the contractors or business partners that we brought on site. I think listening to everyone, though, when things started to go wrong in terms of, you know, you told us this was the laydown area, it can't be done there, let's go there. For some reason, and this is the learning I will take away from today, is that this communication was not escalated at the right level at the right time. Because although we were having all of these discussions, but we weren't having discussions of how can we enable ChatCon. Okay? Now, I'll talk specifically to ChatCon issues because, Rochelle, with all due respect, you know, from my perspective, you came in, you built the houses, paid you, we asked you to do more, you didn't do more, and then we never heard from you up until that point. So I can talk more clearly on ChatCon because this was an issue of many discussions that we had. So please stay with me. But I think on the ChatCon issue specifically, so we can put the onus on the business partner, and there were a lot of things that we didn't do right at first. We would agree with that. But we could have reacted differently. I think the one thing I even told the team at some point, the reason that we didn't make all of the facilities for laydown areas is because we had assumed that we would be using local labor and the local labor would come in every day. Because, you know, Telapakal is not that far, but not that far. I mean, our employees do it as well, between 35 to 50 kilometers. So that's what we had assumed. I at some point told the team maybe we should look at bus services so that employees could be bus. The point I'm making is that we can go through step by step into what we should have done differently, but you all asked us the question, is this something that you can never, you know, get back, or can you still go down the path with these companies? What broke, I think, the straw that broke the camel's back for me with regards to ChatCon was some of the people practices. You know, when I heard that when people got injured on site and you were taking them off site, so that we didn't have to report an incident, you know. For me, that's just a non-negotiable. So I didn't look at all of the issues up until that point, I just looked at the one in the, you know, we haven't had houses built for the last 6 months, 8 months as was permitted. This is a transgression too far. And Mr. Kurt talked about all of the people issues, but we're talking about really atrocious people practices. You know, outside of some of the experts not having legal documents, so we had police come in and raid the place. But we're also talking about, I've heard about, you know, practices of people being bullied on. I don't know how true this is, but even at my level, I heard that a gun was wielded at one of the employees on the construction site. So it was those issues that got us to terminate, but it was never the intention not to try and work with them to find a way. So what I'm saying is, instead of going to everything, I think it being a greenfield project, you know, us assuming that we were partnering with people that have done this before, that if you've done your due diligence and that you've accepted a unit rate, all in, all in unit rate, firmly displayed, that you would have to be good for this. The lesson is that maybe our understanding of what we wrote on the contract versus the business partner's interpretation of what they would find when they arrived with it. And then the last thing, we mentioned coaching, mentoring, etc. I'm looking at Louise, our head of HR. I think the lesson is that in future, we would have to go through and say, well, this is what we meant. Do you know that when you come to site, when we talk about an electrical connection, it is at the thought. You still have to pull a cable to make sure that you can electrify your site. So that's the lesson I take away. Because we're going to, if we continue on this path, we're going to you're going to say something, I'm going to say something. I don't think that was the constructive attempt of what this session was. And I think with Rochelle, if you had come to us earlier, within the year, and tabled this, I actually think you would have made, maybe not for yourself, but you might have made the interaction with Chad a lot more constructive, because we would have been aware of those.
Approached you earlier. To be very honest with you, with what's been going on since this basically breakdown of the contract with the Downside Entity, my company has gone through financial issues majorly. I had 200 employees that got laid off. I had a business partner that was, we dissolved, basically the company broke up. I lost not only my company, I've lost too much to explain to you, and I'm not going to go into details now. Just knowing that I went from a well-established company to nothing. And it wasn't just me. It was the families that was working for me. And I'm saying family members because those guys that was working with me, irrespective of their race, they were my family because we've been working together since 2009. They were my friends. We had relations in the sense of we were respectful to one another. There were never issues when it came to my staff members. Yes, there were subcontractors that I did have problems with because they were just hooligans in the general sense of a contractual hooligan. But nevertheless, the guy that was working for me, to the point, the reason why I'm going to approach you, because I wasn't aware what was going on with the building, and my main thing is my intellectual property that was used. The other issues about the laid out area, that was also part, but I was ignorant, as I explained to you in my email, I was ignorant to that fact. Only afterwards that I sit with somebody and they explain to me, but no, this and this. You must understand, it was the first time that I dealt with a big company like the mine. I did a lot of housing units. That was the building side of things or not. I'm a practical person. Administration, I suck. That's it. There's no other word for it. When it comes to paperwork, I have people that normally handle my paperwork, and Louise is first hand will tell you yes, but when it comes to practical work, I'm a practical person, I do work, and when I'm not taking offense when you say that I did substandard work, because I know I didn't do substandard work. We were given a snag list, and within 5 days of that snag list, it was completed, and they were happy with it. With regards to the delay of my work, a month late, it's not accurate, I'm sorry, but I delivered on the 31st of October, my unit was delivered. There was a delay in the supply of electricity and water infrastructure from the downside side, that mountain mining. That we went back in December to complete it. After December, it came back and said there's some issues with electricity after the construction closed down. I obliged. I went back and I fixed my problem. I never said that I will not go back. When it comes to my work that I've done, I take pride in my work. So I do appreciate the fact that we'll be having this meeting, and I do appreciate, but when it comes to the fact, my intellectual property, the costing and stuff like that, I was at fault, and it's my ignorance. I should have communicated that earlier. But I've now learned my lesson as well. But my intellectual property, irrespective of what Mr. Sanjay Jain said, it is still my intellectual property, and that is my main concern. Thank you, Mr.
Thanks, Chair. I'll be brief because I'm afraid I have to leave the meeting. But I just wanted to point out that this isn't the first case of a dispute that has come to this committee between the supplier and the customer. And often the issues that are raised are the same. And the problem is that this country doesn't have an easily accessible dispute resolution mechanism for these types of problems. It's inevitably costly and time-consuming for the courts to be involved. Small companies don't have the resources to take things to court, and big companies often string them out, and often the result of liquidation. We've seen that two companies have liquidated. Okay, one initially maybe was a partnership dispute, but in this case it looks like it's because of the problems that they had with the contract with the same answer. So, you know, it's not the business of this committee to resolve disputes. It's the business of this committee to learn from such disputes and recommend policy regulatory reform which can lead to these disputes being minimized. And if they arise, which inevitably they will, for them to be solved quickly and cheaply, and for procedures to be followed by companies that lead to the reduction of these types of disputes. Clearly one has not oversight. From Vendanza's point of view, information got stuck at a certain point, and information wasn't getting to the point where decisions could be made. And that is often the case. You know, the cases of organizations, people protecting their interests, people don't want to be found out. So, you know, that's an organizational issue that you as Vendanza and any other organization have to tackle. But I think from our point of view, Chair, before I close, we have to look quite carefully in terms of the legislation and the amendments to the Act at this dispute resolution procedure, because it is critical for the small business segment of this country to be able to thrive. Thank you. Excuse me, I have to leave.
Thank you. I think that these cases are very, very important for us in terms of our legislative responsibility. But also in terms of making recommendations as to how this matter of this nation can be handled. But we can't, when a case has been brought to us, just use this as a guinea pig type of a thing by experimenting for another experiment. As much as there is a gap in terms of how to resolve these disputes, because small businesses can't go to court, and the court processes take longer, and small businesses go down. When the case has been brought to us, we follow into the final. I'm sorry that only the chance that what is said and then left the meeting, and then we are not in dispute resolution. Yes, we are not. But if an issue has been brought to us, we have to find a solution to it. And in this meeting, I appreciated the CEO that she said that it was a basic type of project. There are lessons to be learned by all of us. And I also appreciate the fact that both Chad and Ministry are able to identify their own shortcomings. What we would like to see happening is that this matter is so that we can use it as a learning experience on how to resolve. How to resolve issues that, and also how to review the manner in which the relationship was handled to make it
take it from the negative side and put it on the positive side. So that by the time even when we arrive at how to resolve this issue, we at least have case studies. Like here we do have a case study of Vodacom, Ericsson and Miller Trading. When we started with that, Ericsson thought that they were not wrong. Vodacom thought that they were not wrong. By the time we finished, they appreciated that they had come to this committee and they have learned something. Because we are not here to judge. We are here to point, to offer an opportunity for you people to see your own shortcomings. How best you could have handled this and make a relationship, a better relationship than what it is right now. So, what I would want to see happen is that you go back, you have seen your own shortcomings, have seen their shortcomings. Trading up to 11 days. When they came back, they were able to shake hands and say, we have learned, you understand us. Because what we want to see happening is that companies that are operating in South Africa should not go down, and also they should not hurt each other. There should be ways of ensuring that whatever is negative is corrected in a manner that will make the South Africa create the 11 million new jobs that we expect to create by 2030, and 90% of those coming from small businesses. Also, what I wanted us to be mindful of is that Northern Cape has got its own social problem. The issue of sustainability as well as the issue of poverty and unemployment. So, Fredante was not wrong, Chad, when they put a condition of providing employment to local people, because they are looking at the high rate of unemployment, the high rate of poverty, which then leads to high rate of substance abuse. I've been to that area. People get drunk not because they have taken liquor. They just put a block of yeast in a jug of water and put sugar and drink that. Leave them drunk because they want to forget problems. If you park a car next to a hall, the first people that are right there are small kids. Because in them, they know that when there is a meeting, there will be at least tea and bread. And they know that parents will sacrifice that for them. And there is not, in the meetings that I attended campaigning there, there was not a single woman that did not have a child on the back. But that woman was also drunk. And there were about 2-3 that were working with that young woman. So the data is correct when they are saying local employment. But local employment without taking into consideration the issue of rehabilitation, it's not going to help. Because this one who is asked to employ local people who don't pitch up for work is going to lose. Because it's not going to finish the project at the expected time. So it is very, very important to understand. because we are operating in this area, what is then going to be the solution for the meeting, which will address the very same problem that may result with the project not being realized? And my training background is community development. Community development also relates to understanding how each and every community lives, what are the norms, what are the cultures, and what are the things. And I would be happy to assist in finding each other, because it's not going to help if a Danta is not going to have a good name if one company fails to build a house and the next one fails to build a house and the other one fails to build a house. We must try to find a way of saying, how do we build a relationship so that we can have something that I think that I will get in touch with the CEO for us to look at how we take this process forward. And I will get